listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Time for a little Worldview Watch. Thursday is historically speaking time. That is time to learn how to look forward and assess the world around us with our faith by remembering and assessing what happened in the past. One of my favorite things to do, I don't know if you know this, Dr. Hermelink, but I think I have told you this. I listen to a history podcast with great regularity. It's not a Christian history podcast, but it's about the history of the world because I cannot believe how much there is to know and learn from the mistakes and the triumphs of the past. And we were also just chatting a moment ago about how the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has its own kind of bumps and bruises and victories. And to know those things is to kind of see a way forward as well. So anyway, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we hear from the Old Testament that God's command is to remember, right? To remember salvation history. But unfortunately, these days, when people talk about history, they think about, you know, when Cadillacs had fins.
Or, I mean, in my mind, and this is what I love about this podcast I listen to, is that it's, I in history class, it was dates and numbers and tests, right? And now it's stories. Good stories. Mm-hmm. With real meaning, real sinners, real, not always real answers, but in our case, I mean, real answers. So you got a pile of books here. You got a, we want to talk about summer reading, got a potpourri, but the one, I mean, it strikes me in the craw, I guess, is Seminary in Crisis just sitting there, released by CPH, what is that, 3 years ago now?
It's been a few years, but you hear this over and over that people don't know the history, their history, are doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
And again, it's not, we don't believe as Christians that, you know, we're just in this endless cycle, this, you know, things repeat and people are reincarnated and all that stuff. But it is a more of a spiral as far as we're getting closer to when Christ comes again and takes us all home. But living as fallen people in a fallen world, people don't learn
right
either how things actually work or benefit from the history of the past. We our American culture wants to live in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And so CHI, I think, again, you know, our important work is to get our eyes on God's faithfulness in the past, that we would then be informed when it comes to, okay, where is God pointing us for the future?
And to have those resources available. I was talking with Todd, Pastor Zitlow, last week afterwards, just about what CHI does that is important, is you have the actual history there. Mm-hmm. It's so that when you want to learn it, you can find it. Because, again, are we doomed to repeat it? I don't know if doom is the right word, but if there's nothing new under the sun, which the Bible does clearly say, then we can certainly learn from the past and maybe avoid some of the pitfalls as we go forward.
Sure, and as you argue, as many argue, for example, when it comes to theology, there are no new heresies.
Yeah.
They're just redressed. So I think you could make that case about history, too. So some people, you know, it's like, okay, summer months, they go to the bookstore and pick out a book to read during the summer, and I would plead with people, pick up a book about the history of the church or the history of the Missouri Synod. So, for example, Seminary in Crisis talks about those dark days, those chaotic days of the 1970s, when the seminary here in St. Louis, Concordia Seminary, just things blew up.
It was a political maelstrom. Just insane, with a theological issue, which is equally as important. So you really got two things. You got the political climate of the Missouri Synod that hasn't been the same since, and you got the issue of, is the Bible true or not, which we like to think, oh, we saved it. I'm not sure in American culture that we did.
Right, and then we can sit back and do nothing. Well, no, that's not the way it goes. So there are people's accounts, recollections of the walkout or the controversy in 1974, A Seminary in Crisis was written by Paul Zimmerman, who was, I mean, he was one of the players. Exodus from Concordia was put out by the Board of Control or the Board of Regents. As far as documentation, I know Kurt Marquardt has a book.
Anatomy of an Explosion is the one that, I know there's some complaints about that. They're all going to have their own edge to them, but that was the one that, to me, kind of opened my eyes quite a bit.
Right. So if you've never heard of it's just amazing that the Missouri Synod survived that.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was that big.
Yeah,
it was that big. And we see again these parallels or similar things in more conservative, more confessional groups today, as far as the challenges of being faithful to Scripture when the world says we're beyond that. You know, we've moved on. How do we continue to remain faithful? So again, I think it's if you've never heard about that, take time this summer. Learn about the people involved, the crazy events that happened, and how God graciously got the Missouri Synod through that.
And if you've ever been to a synodical convention, you wonder, you know, why is it so political? Well, there's a reason, and there's a past, right? Mm-hmm. And you're just not going to understand the ethos of the way Missouri still talks to each other and ourselves. And this isn't all good. Some of it should probably be changed as we can, but you're not going to change it unless you know what made it happen. Mm-hmm. And the way we treat each other, even when we disagree in Missouri, it's all tied to these roots that go down to Seminex.
So, I mean, you'll read some accounts of the walkout, and the conclusion is it was just a power play, or it's just a grab for power. And again, I think that's... that's not being a responsible historian.
Yeah.
But there were political elements there. Yeah, yes, for sure. But the theology and what does this do to our understanding of the Christian faith? That's a center. So if we dismiss that and just say, you know, people like to be in power, and once they're in power, they don't like to give that up. You can't be a responsible historian and take that bent.
Well, there's always more than one thing at play in history, too. That's, again, what studying it will teach you. One last piece, and we can move on to some of these other books. I mean, you also can't understand the makeup of American Lutheranism and the relationship with the ELCA without this, because a lot of people don't realize the ELCA is made up of a lot of ex-Missouri Synod congregations, and some of that bitterness that's there between them and us is still connected to this same reality.
It's a reality. So some people, we're trying to do interviews of people who were directly involved in 1974 in the controversies at the seminary, but God's taking a lot of people home. So... CHI, again, we're committed to capturing some of this.
You mentioned that with digital recordings of some of these interviews?
Right. Yeah. So we're beginning that. If someone's listening and you know someone who was involved, maybe they were a student at the seminary at the time or a local pastor here in St. Louis, you know, whatever, give us a call. If you're willing to talk about that, and again, some people, even after 40 years, really don't want to talk about
it. The wounds went
deep.
Yeah.
But if you'd like to do that, we'd love to capture some of this before the only thing that's left is second, third hand reports.
Right, right.
But there are other books that I would recommend as far as summer reading. One is called, it's by Andrew Pettigrew, and it's called Brand Luther. This is the new, and I think it's a marvelous account of Luther and the Reformation, the 16th century Reformation. It's comes out by Penguin Press.
Brand Luther, as in like the brand Luther.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
So it talks about Luther, the printing press, all of these things that came together to propel the Reformation all over Europe and beyond. So I would recommend this book. I think it's a responsible history of Luther and the Reformation. When it comes to the Missouri Synod, I have three here. One, again, often we talk about Perry County in the beginning, so the Saxons here in Missouri. But I want to give some airtime to God's grace when it came to Lutherans from Europe coming to North America in the Saginaw Valley. So if you've heard of places or you've been to places like Frankenmuth, that area in Michigan, there's a great little book by Theodore Grebner called Church Bells in the Forest. And if you like illustrations, I mean, there's nice little illustrations here. But it talks about Winneken and others, Sealer, who really it was a wilderness. I mean, Missouri was a wilderness. Michigan was a wilderness.
Right.
And these basically circuit riders would visit people who they were lucky if once a year they heard a good, solid Lutheran sermon, had the newborns baptized, received the Lord's Supper, and other than that, they just saw smoke from other people's chimneys.
Right.
There's the biography, I think that's the best biography on C.F.W. Walther, called Servant of the Word. This is a CPH book. It's you can order it from CPH. And get to know C.F.W. Walther. Some people think he's a scary guy, but he's not that scary as you see not only his life, but how God worked through him, the first president of the Missouri Synod. And last of all, Ebenezer, it came out in 1922. After 75 years of the Missouri Synod being around, and it's the good news is it's in English, and it's just packed with interesting historical facts about the Missouri
Synod. It's about Missouri Synod. I haven't heard of that one at all. Okay. It's just called Ebenezer.
It's a hidden treasure.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, they came out with this. They came out with this in English, and they also came out, again, in 1922. There were plenty of people who their first language was German. So there's kind of a parallel volume. It's not exactly the same, but a volume came out in German. This is the English.
Yeah, sure.
And it was purchased so much that they, within months, they came out with a second edition. So if you can snatch one of those up.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, that's
probably
out of print.
The one thing I would throw on this pile is another book you've mentioned before, which is Luther the Reformer by Kittleson. Just a great, easy read for the beach. You'll burn through that thing, the story of Luther's life. In your own opinion, how does that compare to Brand Luther? Just totally different kind of books?
Oh, I think Kittleson is more, I mean, it came out, what, a decade ago?
Yeah.
More than a decade ago. So I think Kittleson is more just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Brand Luther, I think, is kind of more of a portrayal of not only Luther, but the technologies that were available that Luther and the Reformation used.
Yeah.
Right? To again, propel the theology of the Reformation. It was like wildfire.
Finally, new setup out here in the lobby.
If you come to the International Center, the Missouri Synod in Kirkwood, when you walk in the lobby, maybe one of the first things you'll see are some new banners up, and there's a new display of Reformation kind of memorabilia highlighting the Augsburg Confession. So the Augsburg Confession, you know, June 25th, 1530, is one of the high points as far as Lutheran history goes. So we want to kind of bring that to light. We also have a new display case in the International Center Museum, which is the floor below the floor that the lobby's on. And we have a one-of-a-kind, unique, there's nothing like it, printing of the Book of Concord on display. So that'll be for a limited time, and we'd love to have you come and check those two displays out.
It's Dr. Daniel Homerlich of Concordia Historical Institute sharing all the good history you can see here at the LCMS International Center or read about this summer on the beach, on your patio, what have you. Yeah, and keep in mind, Concordia Historical Institute is here to serve you by keeping this history in our eyes. Historically speaking, know where you're going by knowing where you've been. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.